et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. We look at the readings today. We hear St. Paul and our Lord both telling us the exact same thing. St. Paul, as he is speaking to members of the Sanhedrin, tells them that all these things that he is preaching are all the things that they hear week after week. They go to the synagogues, they go to the temple, they hear the readings of the prophets. This is everything that God foretold. Our Lord in the Gospel tells us that all these things needed to happen, everything written in Moses, the law, and in the Psalms, and in the prophets, all had to be fulfilled. And that's exactly what he's done. It's in the midst of that that we look at the response. Because obviously the people on the Sanhedrin didn't want to hear anything to have to do with it. Perhaps it's because they had their own preconceived ideas of who the Messiah was supposed to be or what he was supposed to be about. Certainly, I'm sure that not a single one of them ever gave a minute of thought to the idea that the Messiah was actually going to start a new religion, that he would start something entirely new, but instead it should have all been based on Judaism and everybody should have become Jewish. It's all based on Judaism, it just builds upon it and fulfills it. We read in the prophet Jeremiah, as well as other places, God is going to establish a new covenant. A new covenant. They knew it was coming, but they didn't want it. They liked what they had, and this would shake everything that they knew, and they rejected it. The apostles, on the other hand, when our Lord appears to them, they're terrified. Now, it's also important to recognize that while obviously in his glorified form, our Lord could take any form that he wanted. Remember, he appeared to Mary Magdalene and she thought he was the gardener, didn't recognize him at all initially. In this case, they knew exactly who he was. The wounds in his hands and feet are right there for them to be able to look at. He would have looked like himself. And still they're terrified. And you gotta really wonder. Maybe they're terrified because they don't understand. They knew that he died. They knew that he was buried. How could he be standing here in the room with us? I don't understand why they'd be so terrified. You'd think that they would be overjoyed. But they weren't. And our Lord had to explain to them all these things that had been written, all had to be fulfilled. And then he goes on pointing out to them, look, he said, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you can see that I have. So again, we have to understand in the resurrection, we don't get a spiritual body, which doesn't make any sense anyway. It's a total oxymoron. How can you have a spiritual body? It doesn't make any sense. No, you get your own body back. Some of us don't like old Brother Donkey very well. We wish we had a different body. Oh, I wish I looked like that movie star or whatever. Well, guess what? You don't. You look exactly how God wanted you to look, and that's how you're going to be for the rest of eternity. Because you are you. You're not somebody else. You don't look like somebody else because you're not somebody else. And so God's not going to give you a different body because that wouldn't be you. God created you to be you. And he loves you for who you are. And we have to learn to accept that and to love what God loves. That's hard for some of us. But that's part of the struggle in growing in holiness. So we're going to get this body back. It's going to be in a glorified form, thanks be to God. So we don't have all the weaknesses and all the struggles and difficulties that we have today. But nonetheless, it's going to be the same body. We see in our Lord, not only is there flesh and blood that, or flesh and bones rather, that his apostles could literally touch, but with the wounds that are there, they could literally put their fingers in the hole, in the wound. And so we recognize that same thing is true with the martyrs. Whatever it was that they did that glorified God the most, that is, however they died, that's going to be somehow obvious, because this was their greatest point of the glorification of God. And so it will be with you and me, assuming that we go to heaven. Whatever we have done that glorifies God the most is going to be evident for everybody to see, because this is how we have become saints. That's what the Lord is looking at in us. And so that's what we want to keep striving for, just striving to glorify God in whatever way He chooses for us to do it. Which again, just like if we don't like our body and we wish we had a different one, we do the same thing. Oh, I wish I was that saint or this saint. Guess what? You're not. If God wanted you to be that saint, that's who He would have made you to be. He didn't. And so He's calling you to be a saint in your state in life, in your circumstances, in your situation. God is going to make you a great saint if you are willing to cooperate, if we're willing to accept who we are and where we are and how we are and all of those things. That might be quite a challenge for some of us. But it's the circumstances that God has given us to become the greatest saint that we can be. And while we could look at it and say, but the grass would sure be greener on the other side of the fence, if I could be in this saint situation, just think what I could do. That's how God wanted it. It's what He would have done. He's making you a saint in your situation. So we need to pray for the grace to cooperate. We need to pray for the grace to accept. We need to pray for the grace to do the will of God. Not to look at anyone else, not to look anywhere else. Because that's not reality. So just as everything that was written about the Christ had to be fulfilled in our Lord, we can also say everything in the will of God about you has to be fulfilled in you. Jesus had to fulfill what He had to fulfill. God revealed that through the prophets, through Moses, and so on. He didn't do that for you. It'd be nice if you had a book and you could sit down and say, oh, okay, here it is. This is what I need to do. Well, it's not there for you. So we need to put ourselves in front of the Lord. We need to sit in prayer, and we need to try to conform our will to God's will. That's what the prayer life is all about. And that's where we know what God's will is. It comes out of prayer. It comes out of seeking His will and trying to conform ourselves to His will. So make sure you're spending that time in prayer. Make sure you're praying for the grace to accept and to try to cooperate. Because that's the only way we're going to become the saints God wants us to be. Not by doing it a different way, by doing it God's way. Because His way is perfect. Now again, we can all look at, whether it's looking at the cross, whether it's looking at the lives of the saints, if you were having to go through that, you might think, I could think of a much more perfect way of doing this. In other words, I could think of a lot easier way, is what that means. There is no more perfect way than God's will. That's why Jesus went to the cross, because that was perfect. That's why the saints accepted whatever sufferings came their way, or the martyrdom that some of them had to endure, because that's what was most perfect for them. And whatever God has chosen for you is what is most perfect for you. So that's how he's making you a saint. So don't fight it. Pray for the grace to accept it. Pray for the grace to conform yourself to his will in whatever your circumstances are. Because it's in the midst of those sufferings, in the midst of those struggles, the difficulties, whatever they are, that not only is God going to develop virtue in you, but it is in that that he's help going to make you to grow in holiness. Growth in holiness is to become more like God. Become more like God is to become a saint. It's just that simple. So we don't want to be like the apostles and be afraid. We don't want to be like the members of the Sanhedrin and refuse to make any changes. We need to do what God wants us to do. And if we know that his will is perfect, then we can change to do what he wants. And we know his will is perfect, we don't have to be afraid of it. Because we know if it's perfect, it is going to bring the greatest glory for us, and we will be able to glorify God most perfectly.